Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaw's Cast, episode 414. Guillotine, guillotine, guillotine!
Woo! How exciting. Let's bring it back, baby.
Woo! I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And boy, howdy.
This week we are advocating a 100% tax on billionaires from the neck up.
Yep. It's interesting. It's tax time as people are...
Bitching
a lot. I still have to do mine, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much my taxes go up, because I make very little money on paper, and that still is going to still have to pay a couple hundred bucks a year in taxes.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with the various changes, if any.
Yeah.
Like, I have got my W forms, but I haven't just sat down to do it.
Yeah, I usually wait till close to the last minute, just because I have to figure out so much shit and make sure I don't forget to write off something I can write off.
You know, I pay more taxes than Amazon does.
Yeah, I will be. And that, as a fellow publisher, that pisses me off.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I've bitched about this the last two episodes. I might have, but as soon as I saw that thing, it was like, Amazon will pay $0 in taxes this year. I was like, motherfucker.
Yo.
You know? Because I pay taxes on my business. Why shouldn't they pay taxes on theirs?
You because know? They're job creators. No, they should totally pay all their taxes and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were having a discussion about before we recorded.
Yep.
But I was like, hey, it's past 8 o'clock. We should start recording. Let's go, go, go.
Yeah.
Because we do have a full docket of things for the week, and...
You know, I could probably do like a whole hour podcast just bitching about Amazon from both the publisher side and workers' rights. And but anyway.
Being friends with someone who has worked there for a while, he hates it.
Yep.
4-hour shifts.
It's like, wow, we're raising everyone's wage to $15 an hour. You're working 4 hours this week. Have fun sporting yourself.
Yep. It's like, oh, you shouldn't unionize. You should blame the activists who are saying you're not being paid enough. That's their fault. Amazon, we don't make enough money to pay anybody. So, you know, what can we do? We are just a poor company that made $100-something billion in profit last year.
This is what I hate about people that will be like, when they see the call for $15 minimum wage, and they get all snotty, and they're like, why should someone work at a McDonald's make $15 when I only make $15 at my job? And my response to that is that, well, maybe you should be making like $22 an hour at your job, and the McDonald's employees should make $15. You know, like, everyone should be paid more, you know.
Yep.
If you're working a professional job and being paid $15 an hour, you should probably be making $25.
And, you know, people making minimum wage can't live on that. That was kind of the point. Minimum wage is supposed to be a wage where you could afford to live, and it hasn't been adjusted in, like, what, 15 years or so by that?
Even at the time it was adjusted, making it $7.25 still wasn't enough to live off of back then.
Yeah.
You know, it really needed to be $10 back then, and it needs to be 15 or 20 now.
Yeah,
even 15, like, people are pushing for 15. Even that's difficult.
Yeah, because 15 was in line with inflation in 2010, and it ain't anymore because it's 20 goddamn 19.
Yeah. Oh god, I nearly said it's 2018. Like, we were talking about this earlier, and about Saverin was showing me this Twitter account that called something Y2K that posts graphics and images, like, oh, what was, like, cool and futuristic in 1999? And I was like, well, that was only, like, 5 years ago. I mean, why are they being so retro about that? And I'm like, no, I refuse to believe that 1999 was 20 years ago.
But sorry, it is.
It is.
No, I reject this new math.
The song from
This new math of 2019 minus 1999 equals 20. No, that is not correct.
So Jeff Bezos, he sucks.
Yeah.
So something that kind of maybe sort of sucked, but maybe not really. I don't know how you felt about it. We went to Con DFW last weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was last weekend.
It was. Yeah. God. Wow. It feels like longer. Well, what sucked in particular for me was throwing out my back on Saturday morning. You know, I got out of the shower. I got dressed. You know, I brushed my hair. I was feeling good. And then I guess I leaned down and twisted to pick something up or something. And I just felt this pain in my back. And it gradually got worse throughout the day to the point where it was like, I don't know, like 2 o'clock or something like that. And I basically said to Saverin, can you handle this for the rest of the day? I need to go lay down.
And I did.
And, you know, my back still hurts. I mean, not a lot. It's a lot better. I can walk and everything without pain. It's just certain ways of sitting or whatever. But it's gradually gotten better. But here it is fucking Thursday, and it's just now, like, back to normal. And that's just fucking back problem.
You know? Being old, man.
Yeah, and Tyrd was telling me, you know, make sure from now on, when you bend down to pick something up, you stand straight in front of it and you think about it and you don't twist. Because he was like, every time my dad's ever thrown out his back, it's because he's twisted while he's bending down. He's tweaked a muscle and fucking you're in pain for a week. Luckily, Advil is mostly keeping it under control because I don't have any, like,
good shit.
Like good shit for back problems because I haven't had the kind of back issue that really needs Vicodin for quite a few months now.
So Siam's coworker has had way more back surgeries and such than he has. She's got like fused discs. She's got injuries from like when she was in the army. So she makes Siam's back issues look mild and his are pretty painful. Well, she finally convinced him to try like a regular dosage of CBD oil. Uh-huh. He says it doesn't like get rid of the pain entirely, but he's noticed that since he started taking it, like his general background pain and everything has gone down remarkably.
Really?
And he's also found it's kind of helped with some anxiety and just in general.
Yeah, probably loosening up the muscles and the tension a little bit, just enough that there's less pressure on it.
And he notices when he skips a dose too. Okay. So
yeah.
It's basically, why am I aching? Oh, crap, I forgot to take my morning dose.
I mean, that's legal. You can buy it over the counter here
in
Texas.
Yeah, he buys it right by my work.
Yeah.
But he finally gave it a spin, and yeah, it's helped him a lot. So
the con itself was really kind of a bummer.
I could say I sold 7 books.
Seven?
7 books the whole weekend. It was about $98 in sales. Like, I don't even need to do a post-con inventory. Like, I actually remembered everything we sold. And, like, I asked Savard what he sold while I was away. I was away from the table for 4 hours. He sold 1 book.
Yeah. Mm. It was a copy of The Necromancer.
Yep. Like, you remember that, like, 5 days later, because it was so slow that I could pinpoint every fucking sale. And you know what was funny was, last time I did this con was 3 years ago. We sold about $300. And I was like, I have a lot more mainstream-friendly titles now. I have all the T. Kingfisher / Ursula Vernon books. Books like Kismet and Tower and the Fox and stuff like that. A lot more, you know, mainstream to semi-mainstream stuff. So I was thinking I should at least sell more. And then I remembered last time I had ordered 10 copies of Barsk by Lawrence Shone because he was going to be at the con. And he was on a bunch of panels, and there was one dealer who had 1 copy of his book, and then I had like 10 of the newly released hardcover. So all of the panels he was on, he was telling people, go to this table in the dealer's room, they have my book. And then he hung out at the table for quite a while signing books and talking to people. And I sold like 7 out of the 10 hardcovers and then a few more of my books. And I had not realized how big a chunk of the sales that represented, and without that, like, also this was the last year of this con. It's fairly lightly attended. I don't know how many people are
there. Was there maybe 150 people?
Wow,
it was tiny as fuck.
Yeah,
even though we were in the vendor hall, there was probably never more attendees than vendors.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible ratio.
Like, if I had had the back pain, I would have quite enjoyed myself. Like, I was cool with just chilling at the table. I was talking about publishing and books. Like, actually, I had a good conversation with, like, a couple of other people. Like one dude who was doing self-publishing walked up and he saw Sword Heart by Ursula Vernon, and I have it in hardcover right now because we haven't released the paperback edition yet. And he was looking at it, and, you know, and he asked me who I was going through, and he was like, oh, I was thinking of using them, but I hadn't had a chance to actually see one of their hardcovers in person. And so he got to see, like, the quality of it, and I was talking about the, you know, layout and stuff like that. And, you know, like, so I enjoy conversations like that because it's basically nerding out on publisher talk. So I basically had, like, 3 days of publisher talk, and, you know, that scratches a niche for my nerdy little thing that I'm into. But as far as sales go, it was not a selling con. Your parents' booth did better than I did, which I'm very happy about.
My parents' booth probably did better than anybody else at the table at the con, except for the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, the Girl Scouts probably cleaned up. I know they got $20 out of me. And I think part of my problem was also that the majority of the dealer's room is self-published and small presses selling their books, which is what I was doing. So my competition is basically we're all selling the same thing with a few exceptions, like your parents' table. Whereas at the usual cons I go to, i.e. furry conventions, if there's another publisher there, there might only be like one other publisher there selling furry books. And the majority is artists, fursuiters, and the occasional musician. But I have a lot less competition when I'm at a furry convention, and I think that's a big part of it. Also, it's probably more of a networking con, you know? Like, I'd gone another year when I hadn't been a dealer, and I'd gone to a bunch of the panels, and they were really interesting, and they were really well attended. So that's one of the primary reasons for it. But yeah, this was the last year of it. Apparently when they started, there were not any other local sci-fi cons. They were like the only game in town. There's a few more now, so I guess maybe competition's gone up for them.
Plus you got like the big ones like the Comic-Con style that are in town too.
Yeah, like there's a lot more of those than there used to be. Like there used to maybe be like one a year, but now there's two or three at least a year, probably more.
My parents really enjoyed coming out and sitting at their table. I mean, because they live a few miles away from there, and the age cohort of attending this convention is a lot closer to them than it is to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to talk about old people things, about their medical problems and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
How many times will you tell this anecdote, Mom? A lot. But they had a fun time. They got to socialize. They talked to some people about doing other small conventions and whatnot.
Oh, they talked to me about doing some other small conventions. They told me about a one-day event at UT Arlington that I had not heard of. And I was like, super cheap to get in. It's worth a shot.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you're basically selling to students, and students will buy your furry stuff as long as you keep it mostly clean.
That's a good point. I was going to go there with my my mainstream stuff, but yeah, selling to students, I'll totally break out the furry stuff. And I'm sure some people will be like, oh, furries, but you know, there's those other furries that are like, I've actually sold furry books to someone who's been like, do you have a bag? Because like, I'm rooming with my friends and I don't want them to know.
No one can know his deadly secret.
Yeah.
But I guess the most exciting thing for me that weekend was the fact that there was a Pokestop that we sat under the entire time, and I could do community day without having to move. It was really boring. But we did go get – we went to Ginger Brown's on Saturday night, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a restaurant in Lake Worth, Texas that is very Jesus-y now that we look back at it.
It's but super Jesus-y. It was like really little good. God bless you sign, like right at the cashier, and
a fucking Bible verse, and then like this, that, and the other. They had Fox News on both the televisions, and then they're like, the walls are covered in weird old cookie jars. Yeah. It's very much a, we are trying very hard for the 1950s aesthetic, complete with the extra Jesus, and their menus have like 30 fonts. But their food is really good. I wanted catfish, and that was the special. And you also, as part of the meal, get this fucking cinnamon roll that's bigger than your fist.
Yeah, he tweeted a picture of it. It's big, or tweeted a picture of it.
I saw it. That was huge. Yep.
And that was my breakfast the next day. So it worked out really well, and it's also real cheap. It was like $23 for Fuzz and I to eat dinner.
Yeah.
And he got like the pork chop plate. It was like two pork chops and two sides.
Two pork chops and sides, and it was
the cinnamon rolls.
Really good.
It's like, wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had the cinnamon apples and the mac and cheese for the sides. I love cinnamon apples. I don't get them that often. It was really good.
So my con DFW was very uneventful, but
yeah,
you know, you networked cool. My parents had a fun time. They made money. They were happy. Mm-hmm. And con DFW, you know, you can't say, well, I'm not going to do that again because the con's over. So,
right. Yeah. You
know, not to be too flippant, but oh, well.
And I am considering like maybe getting a table and trying out a couple of other local sci-fi cons like that. Like there's a few. I know there's Fen Con. I don't know when All Con is this year, but there's All Con. So, you know, I'm looking to like sort of expand and do some more smaller events in Texas in my general area and kind of get the word out about my company in that way. And I'm kind of bummed out that con in Oklahoma City isn't happening this year, because I was looking forward to trying that one out. C'est la vie, you know, I'll give him a shot next year, depending on their dates. But yeah, that was my weekend. Apart from the back pain, I was all right.
The other thing that popped up at this weekend is that it has finally been confirmed that Ponies is ending after 9 seasons and a movie. They finally said that season 9 is the end for the current iteration of the show. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's been 9 years. When that was finally announced, I replied with that one image.
It's been 84 years from Titanic. Rose
with Titanic, yeah. That movie came out like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, totally.
So it's, you know, you posted the tweets like, now become a legal thing, Sequestria Daily.
It'll basically compete with SCOTUS blog.
Yep. And Pone Hat. Yep. It's one of those things where, like, it's a show that got a season, and they're like, okay, I guess we'll do 3. Okay, we'll do 6. Fine, 9. Christ.
Jesus, people are so wild.
We did a movie.
Yeah, seriously, they had a good run. Because, I remember back when you were talking about how, like, season 3 will probably be the last because they'll hit that magic
65
episode threshold for syndication and they can just rerun it forever. But then, I guess, demand was clearly there and they kept going. But, you know, I think they've tapped out their market at this point.
They'll cross 200 episodes before the show ends. And they're
that's like some sitcoms hit that, you know? Like, that is a very decent number of episodes for a cartoon.
Yeah, SpongeBob has way, way more than that, but it's up there in terms of number of episodes that a cartoon has that's in, okay, a United States cartoon. Because there's anime that has been airing since the 60s, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, not counting The Simpsons or The Flintstones.
Like one's got renewed for their 30th season or something recently. Came out when I was 5.
Oh, yeah.
Feels so old.
Yeah.
So the other thing, more good news, because we have some real fucked up news at the end, well, towards on the backside here. But the news is the Mermaid's Gender is going to get their grant of £500,000.
Yep.
After all the bullshit that the UK TERFs tried to throw at them with Graham Linehan being a real piece of shit,
mm-hmm.
and the resultant H-Bomber guy, $300,000 US stream, they're going to get their money. So they're getting $100,000 a year over 5 years in an earmarked way, plus they got $300,000 US.
Well, £100,000.
£100,000 per year for five years.
And $300,000 US.
Which, whatever translates right to that.
So, which is like £2.
Yeah.
Actually, well, no, it's probably better now because
it'll be like,
the pound has really fucking crashed. So,
yeah, I was going to say $300,000 USD to British pound GBP. What does that mean? Let's see. That's still £230,000. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they ended up with £730,000 instead of £500,000.
Yeah.
Thanks, Graham Linehan. You really helped.
I love that. That fills me with joy.
Through the power of spite, the internet came together and said, actually,
fuck
no.
Fuck you.
So
that's so fucking great.
Yeah.
That was good news to start out the week.
It was.
The kittens do not understand why we will not let them in here while we're recording. They're just sitting out there going, meow, meow.
I can hear them, yeah. I don't know if they'll pick up on the mic. I doubt it, but
yeah. We're being serenaded by kittens
who
understand
when
why.
When I tried to come in here, I was trying to put one aside with my foot, and instead of moving, it just kind of flopped over like a slime cat.
Bloop.
Like, I have no form. You cannot move me.
It just turned to liquid.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, we know cats are liquid. And I saw this picture of this little video of a bunny recently, and they're like, bunnies are 90% fluff. Because this bunny got its head through the bars of the cage, and then the rest of the body just floop right through. And mm-hmm. It's like, you're going to need a new cage.
The other thing that was good news that you posted was this came out like just now, or you posted about it just now, was the Supreme Court unanimously shooting down asset forfeiture in large part.
So for those that don't know, asset forfeiture is what allows cops to basically just take your shit, whether
you're guilty.
Even if you're just suspected of a crime, you don't even have to be fucking convicted. You know, so if like they pull you over and you got like a bunch of money because you're going to go buy a car, something like that. I don't know. They could just be like, oh, that could be drug money. We're just going to take this $2,000 in cash and keep it.
And they don't have to prove or.
Yeah. And it's got to the point, there's been a graph out there that's shown that like more money is stolen from citizens by the cops than by actual burglaries at this point. And you know what was amazing about this Supreme Court decision, that in 2019 this Supreme Court makeup had a 9-0 decision. Like all nine justices, the liberals, the extreme conservatives, all fucking agreed that this is bullshit. And like Ginsburg wrote the decision, and it's like, this is based on the 8th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the fucking Magna Carta. Like this is like right there in the Bill of Rights. And it's like, I think it's unreasonable fines being levied is the exact wording in the Constitution. And, you know, this has been something that cops have been getting away with forever. And the Supreme Court is basically the case that went there. I forget the guy's name. It's in the article. His name is in the name of the case. Was a dude who was convicted for stealing heroin. And he
did his time.
He did his time. He went to a court-mandated, what do they call it when you go
and rehab?
Rehab, thank you. My brain just went, pfft. He went to a court-mandated rehab. He paid a little under $1,200 in fines. And that was fine. That was appropriate. But then the state of Indiana got another lawyer and decided to try and take his $42,000 Land Rover. And their justification was that he may have used the vehicle to transport heroin when he was selling it. And it's sort of like, you know, the dude did his time and he cleaned up. He went through rehab. He's not on drugs anymore, and he paid the money. And after all that, they're like, nah, dude, give us your $40,000 vehicle.
I think that he had bought with like an inheritance or something. Like they approved that this came from somewhere else.
It was just it was a completely ridiculous overreach, and it went all the way to Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court found in his favor. Another case, this wasn't in that case, but another situation where something really fucked up happened was there was like a little old lady in like South Carolina or something who somebody in her house was selling drugs, and she wasn't involved in the drug selling. She tried to stop the drug selling. The state took her house because that's where the drug selling happened. And it's like, are you fucking serious? You're going to, like, make grandma homeless because somebody in her family was doing something illegal?
Being a shithead.
And the thing is, the cops and the law firm basically just split the money when they win.
Yeah.
They take your house, they sell it to one of their buddies for the cheap, and then they split the money between the law firm and the cops.
Yep.
It's a fucking racket.
You know? It is.
The biggest gang in the country are the cops. And these fuckers have just basically been told they can't do this. Now, of course, will this stop them necessarily? No. because they're the cops. Because
the thing is, when there's a Supreme Court decision made, and I'd have to see the whole decision to see what... They didn't outlaw the practice completely. They put severe limitations on it. So we're going to have to see, like, how this is interpreted in state law, what they can get away with and what they can't. But it's going to severely curb this practice.
It also gives people legs to stand on to fight when it does happen.
Yeah, because now all their lawyer has to do is say, you know, in this case of Indiana versus Tiptree or Tipton or something, the man's name, cite this case. You know, fuck you, local cops. It's a really fucked up thing that's been going on for a long time in this country, and now the court has actually put their foot down on it. And like I said, I'm pretty amazed that it was a 9-0 decision. Like
partisan lines. Everybody agreed it was fucked.
Yeah, like a truly bipartisan decision. I mean, you gotta think, like, how bad they were abusing their authority for this mix of justices to be like,
what the fuck?
I'm an authoritarian, but whoa, dude. You know, like Neil Gorsuch, the new ultra-conservative guy. Well, no, less than Kavanaugh, but even he was like, nah, dude, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was also noted in the article that the $40,000 that they were trying, that basically the value of his car was like four times past the maximum amount that can be fined for him. So, like, they were trying to just snatch his Range Rover so they could use it as a car for the cops or just sell it to a buddy.
Right.
That's how this works.
Because they seize it, then they sell it.
Reading through the rest of the decision, Justice Kavanaugh commented, I like beer.
He didn't
really add anything to the decision.
It was a concurrence, but not a dissent or an agreement.
Yeah, he just felt that it was a comment that needed to go on the record in a historic case.
Also, Donkey Dong Dave, pretty cool dude. Sick headstands.
You know what? Oh, can't remember if it's buffing or boffing. What's the term? Are you
boofing?
Boofing. Yes. So I was listening to Behind the Bastards, and he had mentioned that the practice of boofing, which is when you take alcohol or drugs anally, is like came up at the Senate hearings for Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. So, like, the explanation of what boofing is and is now in all of these fucking legal Senate documents. Because that was something he did in college.
He boofed?
And they were talking about the college atmosphere. They were trying to excuse his sexual assault, alleged sexual assault, as, oh, it's just frat boy behavior. You know, we would do this. I like beer. We were boofing, you know, and then I guess they had to explain to the senators what boofing was, you know. We live in a weird country.
Well, because, like, it's always been, like, a mild concern. Like, anytime, you know, like, we're driving back from a convention, like, back to FLA, right? Yeah. And we have cash in the car, because they're like, oh, if you have more than X amount of cash in the car, well, that's drug money, and then they just take it.
Yeah.
And you have to prove that, no, it's totally not drug money.
And even if you
fight them.
Yeah. And even
but it's still
going to
cost you time and effort and money.
Yeah.
You know, this happens when they pull over any minority. They search the car, find, oh, you know, they got cash on them, because they use cash. You know, they just snatch that shit and say tough shit. So, you know, it can affect anybody, but, you know, it affects, you know, poor people more often than not, because mm-hmm. they don't necessarily yeah. have checking accounts or saving accounts or use credit cards, because they want to use cash.
Or have the money to fight it.
Yeah. So
and when you're driving, is particularly in the Southeast during some of these economically depressed areas, these small towns will pull people over left and right, try to find any fucking reason to fine you. And, you know, if they find you have money, you know, kiss it goodbye. And hopefully until now.
So that's always been one of those, like, to kind of tie it back into the fandom. And, like, as again, anybody that's a vendor, if they deal with cash and they don't have a place to drop it in town before they head back on the road, you know, you're going cross country with a load of porn and a fucking few thousand dollars in cash.
Tell you how. See, I'm really glad I'm not going to FWA this year. Tyrion is, because Alabama is a very anti-immigrant state. And like, and not just to brown people. This is something I talked about years ago because, yeah, race is clearly a thing. But like, they were, I believe there was a city in Alabama that was trying to get like Toyota to build like a big plant or headquarters there or something like that. And like, they fucking detained the Japanese man who was the Toyota corporate exec who'd flown over from Japan. And like, they'd thrown him in jail while they went over all of his immigration paper, his visa paperwork and shit with a fine-tooth comb. And, it, you know, that probably cost the state some business. Because, like, you know, the city of Huntsville or whatever wants to make a good first impression on a possible multi-billion dollar contract, right?
Was it some, like, there. Little town that caught him, or... Was it Huntsville itself,
though? I don't recall exactly. This was like 6 or 7 years ago now. But he wasn't the only one. Like, it happened to like a couple of other people, too. So, driving through Alabama as an immigrant with a combination of porn and cash in my car makes me very fucking nervous.
Mm.
I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Yeah, I can see why.
Just a bit.
You know, and... Just depending on the town, just having out of state plates makes you a target. So, you know, you're cruising to Alabama with fucking Texas plates in your car.
You out of here? You a steer or a queer? Answer me, boy.
Moo. I don't know.
So, yeah. Shifting on to more disappointing things. Something that is disappointing is that that thing with Jussie Smollett.
Oh, God.
So I.
What a fuck.
I'm withholding judgment on that until more information comes to light, only because you really trust the fucking Chicago cops.
I don't, but they have, like, the check that he paid the guys with.
Oh, okay.
And they caught this on multiple video cameras. Like, he paid them with a check, $3,500 to rough him up and make a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, he's surrendered to the cops on, you know, felony something something or another. Like, this isn't just, oh, the cops are saying this. Like, no, they got the check. Yeah, they got the guys that he hired.
Okay, so more's come out since last time I
Yeah, this came out this morning, and it's just like, ah, fucking seriously.
Like,
and the thing is, you know, we got, you know, hate crimes are up.
Yeah.
You know, violent attacks against minorities.
Fake it. And it just discredits.
Faking it makes it all the actual, you know, homophobes and transphobes, et cetera, to be like, oh, it's all fake.
Yeah.
Because one asshole decided to try to make a scene.
And I don't understand why. Like, he's already on an actor on a popular show. You know, it wasn't for money. I mean, it clearly had to be for attention, but I don't know.
He was reportedly dissatisfied with his salary on the show, and now he's probably going to lose his role on the show entirely because he's been charged with a felony.
Jail.
It's yeah. Such a fucking disappointment. It's like, wow, it's fucked up that it would occur if it had occurred.
Yeah,
but like, to specifically concoct a racist attack like that is really fucked up.
It is.
And now you just have, you know, the internet neckbeards and all that shit being like, see, fucking told you, you can't believe anybody, they're all liars.
Because and everything's one fake.
Because some rich fucker wanted more money. Like, come on, dude. Do you have any idea how much you have just damaged your in-group, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, because this is the fucked up stupid thing, but it's how it is, you know. Oh, this one gay person did a thing, therefore, all gay people. It's literally like judging a minority by individual members.
Yeah. Whereas, which is what racists and homophobes do. Say, all gay people are like this, all black people are like this. And he's just handed them ammunition on both fronts.
Yeah, it's just like, God damn it, man. You just really royally fucked up. Honestly, it's the Chicago PD. They're incredibly fucked up. But from the looks of things, he faked it. He hired two black dudes, who are like brothers apparently, to rough him up. But did it in such a half-assed, stupid way that it was immediately provable one
Dumb.
Way or the other. Ugh. Like, yeah, I'm going to pay you in a check. They're going to write in the memo for fake attack, you know, that I'm assuming he didn't, but...
He might as well have.
Yeah.
And why the fuck did he use a
doing that for just $3,500, too? I mean, you fucking cheapskate. Christ. You know, that's the other... So it's another random angle. It's like, you're going to risk these guys going to prison for $3,500, you fuckhead.
Yeah.
So that came out
today.
That's
two of them. So, I mean, that's 50-50. That's not worth. And
that's $1,750 a piece.
Yeah, that ain't worth whatever they'd be fined and jailed for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the two people that he apparently contracted went to the cops, and the cops were like, yo, you're not charging y'all. You're going to work with us. But no, you're fine. Because they helped basically wrap up, in a way, a really ugly situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'll have to see what happens. You know, this is one of those, God damn it, it's not nearly as cut and dried as you would think. After the little bit of initial reporting, it's like, damn it. Why would you do this? Why would you fuck it up for this?
Because, goddamn.
You are not helping one bit.
It looked like in a popularity grab. Like, hey, now I'm a victim and get my name out there and, you know.
I mean, it worked in that I'd never heard of him before because I haven't watched Empire. Nothing against it. I just haven't watched it.
Yeah, there's lots of shit I haven't watched.
Yeah.
But it is just very disappointing to see that it is entirely possible that this was an entire hoax that the actor concocted. It's like, you're not helping one bit.
In fact, exact opposite. Like,
I mean, the other thing, too, is like, you know, we talked about hate crimes and whatnot being on the rise. And, you know, this other thing that you posted the link to and I posted, too, about that Coast Guard guy. If you want to talk about that fuzz.
Yeah, like that has not really exploded on the news to the level that it should. Apparently it was not even above the fold in the New York Times today. But apparently a Coast Guard had amassed a bunch of weapons and had a spreadsheet full of the names of Democrats and journalists that he intended to kill.
Christopher Paul Hassan was arrested late last week.
Oh, three names, man. That's always a bad sign.
The middle name should have been Wayne. Then it would have been a really big red flag.
Yeah.
Was accused him of stockpiling weapons to carry out terrorism. He compiled a long list of targets, including Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Scarborough, and Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as well as other politicians and journalists. In court documents, the U.S. government wrote, "The defendant intends to murder innocent civilians on a scale rarely seen in this country." Which, compared to the normal scale of mass murder in this country, that's pretty big. It was reported a day after SPLC unveiled research showing that for the fourth year in a row, the number of hate groups operating in the U.S. has grown. The groups pointed to Trump's racist rhetoric and policies, as well as a history of openly applauding violence against the press and his critics. The number of hate groups operating across the U.S. rose to a record high of 1,020 in 2018 as President Trump continued to fan the flames of white resentment over immigration and the country's changing demographics, the SPLC reported. Basically, Hassan, based on recent internet searches, federal investigators uncovered Hassan appeared to be planning an attack against Trump's detractors. In January, he searched for the phrase "Civil War if Trump impeached" and "What if Trump illegally impeached?" In January, investigation found Hassan had also conducted internet searches for a number of phrases indicating he planned to get access to his targets, including "best place in D.C. to see congresspeople" and "where in D.C. do Congress live?"
Wow.
Around the time of his arrest, the Washington Free Beacon published an article detailing Ocasio-Cortez's home in Washington, D.C. The congresswoman responded to reports of Hassan's apparent plans to target her and others by calling on media outlets to end their reckless reporting of personal details, as well as amplifying of unvetted conspiracy theories that run rampant among right-wing hate groups. "This isn't a game," declared Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
So this guy had a fuckload of guns and lists of names, but he had gone as far as to add, like, pet names for these people.
Well, like, he made up his own, like, Secret Service code names, basically.
You know, this guy was calling for focused violence to, quote, "establish a white homeland," unquote. Trying to find the list of the name, but he was basically trying
There's already a white homeland. It's called Oregon. Just fucking move there.
What?
He was trying to follow in Ander Breivik's path, where he killed 77 people, including a shitload of children.
That's the guy over in one of the Nordic countries.
Sweden, I think it is. The list included Joey, all caps, in what prosecutors say is reference to former Congressman Joe Scarborough, Cortez, an alleged reference to Ocasio-Cortez, and Sin Blumenjew, presumably about Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. So he had, like, he didn't even write their names down. It was just the names that he saw in his stupid boomer memes.
I'm shocked. Shocked that this guy would also be anti-Semitic.
Wow. I mean, what a big surprise. So he had 15 guns, including long guns and rifles, and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition in his cramped basement apartment. Over the past 2 years, he had made nearly 2 dozen purchases of firearms or related equipment and made thousands of visits to websites selling weapons or tactical gear.
I'm glad he didn't get to use any of it.
The government flat out said the defendant is a domestic terrorist bent on committing acts dangerous to human life that are intended to affect governmental conduct. A white dude they actually flat out called a terrorist. That's impressive.
Wow, that never happens. And I don't mean that sarcastically. That never fucking happens.
Yeah, it's extremely rare, and this is one of those... He was so blatant in his planning that they were totally like, oh, no, this dude's totally a terrorist. This isn't some lone wolf. This is a guy trying to inspire other people to follow in his footsteps and do wide-scale terror bullshit in the country. So, on one hand, what the fuck? On the other hand, I'm really glad he got caught before he did anything.
Yeah.
Because even a little bit, you know, you get the pigs a-squealing and... You got these old boomers calling for, oh, we'll have a second civil war if X occurs. You know, just do a quick Twitter search for second civil war and you'll see all sorts of insanity. You know, if you want to ruin your evening, do that. I wouldn't recommend it. But you can.
If you want to ruin your Google recommendations, do that.
Do it in incognito.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do a lot of things in incognito mode. So that was our kind of fucked up what the fuck of the week news story. It's like we caught this terrorist who was planning on killing a bunch of people and he had a bunch of guns and the absolute means to do so. But we caught him this time. So yay. Also, we're actually going to call him a terrorist.
Yay. So I'm going to talk about one of the nicer things to as a palate cleanser. Happy second birthday to Night in the Woods.
Yep.
It is 2 years old today since it was released, which is super cool. I mentioned to Sarah before we started recording that my vinyl copy of the Night in the Woods soundtrack arrived just the other day. It's quite cool. It is a 2-disc set. Even came with a little pin of May, which is cute. And I've not had a chance to listen to it yet. I mean, I can't see myself listening to it a whole lot because I bought all the soundtracks from the composer's Bandcamp site. So I have them on my phone anyway. But it's just cool to have, you know. And it's got nice artwork on it. You know, check it out. Just, I guess, search for Night in the Woods soundtrack vinyl and you'll probably find it.
It was a really good game. Yeah.
It was a good game. Yeah. And you know, Alec Holacqua, I think that's how you pronounce his name, had quote tweeted one of the other developers at their company that came on after Night in the Woods was made and was talking about how, like, when they're at cons and stuff like that, like, people come up and thank them for making Night in the Woods and they talk about what it meant to them and how it, like, reflected their lives and how it dealt with, you know, things that they were experiencing, either depression or living in a Rust Belt city with depressed wages and stuff like that. And he was saying, like, having worked to other game devs, like, this doesn't generally happen, that people come up and give, like, a heartfelt reaction to how good their game was and how meaningful it was. So that's very cool. It's still something I enjoy. I would love to see like an animated movie based on it or something, or yeah, some comics or something.
There's been cool. Some like fan animations and stuff, but
yeah,
you know, the core of the game, you know, living in a depressed town, dealing with being, you know, a shitty future and, you know, dealing with mental illness does not necessarily make for a great animated kids film.
No, but it would be.
PG-13 adult. You know, maybe Netflix it. Maybe yeah. Netflix would pay money for it.
Yeah. I could see Netflix.
But it's a really good game, and I'm glad that it's still getting recognition for being a big, good game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just recently, it's getting a Japanese localization, which is cool.
Cool.
In Japanese for the Switch.
Nice. Because,
you know, PC gaming is a lot smaller over there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, looking forward to in the near term, Scott Benson's new announcement of his cooperative gaming studio.
Oh, I saw him talking about that a little while ago. I guess it was just in the planning stages.
It's still in the planning stages. He hasn't launched it, but it is cool to see in the rapidly decaying fucksack of the gaming industry that there are people trying to do cooperatives and trying to do smaller scale developer work where you don't, you know, the CEO gets either a bonus or you get laid off with nothing in between.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked about last week how Bobby Kotick's a piece of shit and Activision Blizzard is going down the tubes. But then, like, today, there was announcements that ArenaNet, the people that made Guild Wars 2 and a number of other games, is, quote-unquote, reducing redundancies, I believe was the phrasing they used. And EA is cutting a large portion of their Australian mobile studios, EA Melbourne's staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they do mobile games and whatnot, but the article that I saw was basically like, yeah, the amount of layoffs is about 10% of the entire game development industry in Australia. Because it's very, very tiny over there. So even if they laid off 20, 50 people, that's still a number. Because there's not a lot of big dev houses in Australia.
Yeah. But if you're like an Australian looking for a game dev job, apparently it got a lot harder to find one.
Yeah. I mean, you might do better trying to get a H-1B or going to work for Ubisoft because they have like a million studios all over the planet. But yeah, Australia, not a great place to develop games in, I guess. I mean, everything's either like Japan, Europe, or America. Yeah. There's some Canadian studios as well, but
yeah, they're always like, if you're in America, like
EA then Montreal and Ubisoft Montreal.
Off of fucking Activision, though.
Yeah. Like, it's been a week since a huge amount of people over at Activision got laid off.
That this is also an industry with just really, really bad work practices.
Oh, yeah.
The whole dev cycle of working 80 hours a week during crunch time to get a game out in time for the release date. And then
the CEO gets the $1.5 million bonus and you get fired.
And you get, yeah, and you know, all these, a lot of these studios will immediately lay off majority of their staff after the game is released. And sometimes they get brought back on later on for like maintenance work or something like that. But I mean, could you deal with living with that kind of uncertainty, you know?
Especially in the places of the country where game development is done, the West Coast and the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, sure, let me just lose my job and be stuck without an income in fucking San Francisco for 3 months. And that's like assuming it's only 3 months. How many of these people have to fucking lay off and like, well, gonna go back and live with my parents in Des Moines?
Yeah, because, I mean, even if Activision hires more people on the next time they want to do another WoW expansion or something, that's not going to be for a while, and they're not going to hire back all 800 people that they just laid off.
Yeah. I mean, that happened with Telltale Games. You know, we talked about that when that happened because it was a big deal. They just fired everybody.
Yeah,
and like, there had literally been a guy who had moved across the country with his family, sold his house, and moved to the West Coast the week before.
Yeah.
And then just, no job. Yep. He's fucked. Strange city, no job, shitty situation. So that sucks.
Yeah.
So I will tell you a gaming thing that doesn't suck.
What's that?
Astroneer.
Astroneer?
Astroneer is a space guy survival game. You are a little space person in a space suit, and you are on a planet, and just like, survive. It doesn't really have a point or a goal. It's just an open world exploration game. There's no monsters to eat you. There's some dangerous plants. Like, there's some little, like, spiral green looking tree things that'll spit gas clouds at you. There's some cactus that'll stab you if you get too close. There's some, like, gas bag plants that if you pop them too close, you just die. But there's not, like, monsters in the world hunting you down. You don't have a gun. It's a very chilled out experience where you build a base and explore, and you go to the other planets in the system, and it's very nice and relaxing. Tessa and I have been playing it in co-op, and then last night I decided to stream it because I'm back in the habit of that. I had to take a break from Kingdom Hearts because we're in the, like, the tail end of the game, and it's just really confusing. Like, yeah. The story is just like, well, I'll get to that in a second, but it was a very successful stream, and I want to say thanks to like Graveyard Greg and co for doing raiding and having all these people come look at me and go, ah, hello. There's suddenly now more than my usual slate of watchers who I greatly appreciate because they stay and chat with me.
And keep you sane.
Yes. But that, it's been a game that I put like 20 hours in during its early access period, and it has radically changed since then. It has good co-op. It's nice and relaxed. You can, you know, we were using Discord to talk and just coordinating like, hey, can you go over there and grab me a thing? And just you're cooperatively building. You can't, like, kill each other. You can't really be a dick unless you're, like, just breaking stuff and then you're being a dick. But it's a very pleasant little game that came out of early access just a little bit ago.
Sounds good.
It's been a lot of fun. Also, Kingdom Hearts. It's really confusing.
Yeah.
And very heteronormative. All the worlds in Kingdom Hearts 2, except for Tron, end with the main characters of the movies hooking up. Mulan, you know, Shang and Mulan hook up. Beauty and the Beast, Belle and Beast, you know, they follow the movies. Hercules Megara, Will and Elizabeth Swan, Jack and Sally from Night Before Christmas, right, Nala and Simba. Like, in every single world except for Tron, because there are no female characters in the Tron world, though there was Tron and then there was, like, a lady program in the original movie, that, like, the end, like, the wrap-up for every world is, and then the Hets got together, and Sora doesn't know how to process these emotions of these, the adults are being horny, and I am but a child, hee-hee-hee.
Which characters?
The main character in the story, he's like 15 or 16.
He's a kid.
So when he has oh god, these adults are being lovey-dovey, he reacts like a child would. So it's kind of realistic in that regard, I guess. But it's one of those things I've realized that, like, 5 seconds after Sora does his magical key bullshit and fucks off, they're banging in the background. Gosh, I sure hope Nala and Simba have a good weekend. Yeah, I bet they did.
I mean, that's where the next generation comes from.
Yep.
The pride must continue.
That section of the world really held up too. Like, the first visit takes like an hour, but the animation, because they're animating, you know, cartoon lions that are kind of flat shaded, that holds up really, really well. They're still very good looking models that are on model for the cartoon. It's not quite as nightmarish as the Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley models from the Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, consider they're upscaled PS2 models.
True.
They didn't, like, remodel them, and so their texture work is sometimes questionable.
Oh, so you're doing the original
Kingdom Hearts. I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 2.5 on the PlayStation 4. So it's the, like, second of the three re-releases of the Kingdom Hearts collections. Says there was the original games on PS2, then there was the individual re-releases on PS3 of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and then 2.5 as separate releases, which I own both of them. But then you can't capture off of PS3, so I never played them. Then I got the collection of Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, and the extra bullshit that they'd released for like $15 on Black Friday or something. Then they re-released another thing called Kingdom Hearts The Story So Far, which includes all that other stuff that I mentioned, plus like three other things that they've released in the interim time. So if you want to learn the story so far to really get into Kingdom Hearts 3 and know what the fuck's going on, it's only going to take you like 150 hours.
Only.
So I think what's probably going to happen with the Kingdom Hearts series is I'm going to finish 2.5, go, that was cute, I wish there was a Zootopia world in 3, and then not touch anything further with the series. Like, it's not bad, but it's very, I would say, anime bullshit. So, like, I can totally see why people, like, especially in 2005 when this came out, it was such a big fucking aesthetic. People loved it. And, like, it is disappointing that they didn't get any movies newer than 2014 for Kingdom Hearts 3 because it'd been in development hell for so long. It was supposed to come out in, like, 2013 on the PlayStation 3. And it took until 2019 to come out.
I wonder why.
Dunno. It's a good question.
I mean, it was one of their more popular series.
You know, it took them, what, 14 years between the two games? Something like that? Yeah, 2005, 2019.
Maybe there was, like, rights issues or something.
Well, like, all the worlds in the most recent one are all Pixar worlds. It's kind of lame. Like, I'm disappointed that they didn't revisit any of their 2D worlds. Like, okay, they revisit the Colosseum with Hercules, because that's a... It's been in all the games, because it's like a challenge mode where you fight waves of enemies in certain sections. But, like, it's Tangled and Frozen, and I think there's a Pirates... Yeah, there's a Pirates world in 3. There's Big Hero 6. But, you know, Monsters, Inc. But it's all, like, Disney Pixar 3D worlds that they just straight translated. I mean, it is really cool to see how far game graphics have gone, because, like, Frozen looks more Frozen than Frozen did when it originally came out.
I think I remember you telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, like the side-by-side with Let It Go in like the game and then the movie is really, really close, except in the PS4 version, you know, there, or in the game version, there's Sora and Goofy and Donald in the background going, "Gosh, what's happening here? Russell should let it go." So video games, they're okay sometimes.
Yeah.
Video games, yes. Gamers, no. What about y'all?
Well, last week was my week from hell. It's been a lot of, like, work, work, work. And then, well, in World of Warcraft raiding, so we got a sudden, like, oh my god.
Are you doing that again?
Yeah, it's back on.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you may have mentioned that before. I
new patch dropped, so.
Oh, okay.
But we get a, so we raid on Wednesday, Sunday, and Monday. That's our cycle. We get, like, a message on, like, Friday from one of our players of, "Yeah, guys, I don't know when I'm going to be back on again. I'm, you know, just finally getting to where I can use the phone again. I had a stroke."
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like, what? Well, and it turned out it was a good thing that he had a stroke. Yeah, he had basically a embolism or something that would have burst and killed him, except it happened to leak a little, which threw the blood clot, which they... Apparently, he lives right by one of the really good neuro centers. They managed to actually pull the blood clot out of his head.
Oh, wow.
Like, shortly after it got lodged. And he bounced right back. But in the meantime, like, our fucking raid group is like, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, are you okay?" You know? Because he's a young guy. He's, you know, early 20s. And just suddenly, you know, Christ. And everybody... But if it hadn't leaked, if it had just outright burst, he would have been instantly dead.
Yeah.
So, sucks, but probably the best outcome possible. It's just like, holy shit. But we've been talking to him on Discord. He's in really good shape, especially for what happened. But yeah, when we raided yesterday, he was actually on again. And we were like, everybody's talking. And I was like, "Holy shit, are you okay to play?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm taking it easy, but yeah, I'm okay.
I'm just going to be an Ogremar dancing on a mailbox. Don't worry about me."
Yeah, but he showed, like, the blood clot they pulled out of his head. It was like a 3-inch long, just out of his brain with this little tiny basket grabber. Just zip.
Oh my God.
And then he was good. It alleviated the pressure instantly, and...
He's not going to have exploding head syndrome.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, because he's such a young guy, it was just like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
So, holy shit. Other than that, I mean, it's been... Work has been utter hell. We are so busy. We are so backlogged. And that's full-time. I've been doing a lot of TFF stuff because, well...
It's a month away.
It's that time.
Oh, God. Is it really a month away?
Well, yeah. 5 weeks. It's the 21st. And so, oh, we have 7 more days of February, plus it's the 20th to the 31st of March.
Yeah. So order your products, Buzz.
I need to finish my slides for my panel.
Oh, no. I got to plan for another con. Ah!
You still got a month. But yeah, Fiesta's coming, so that's eating a lot of my spare time after work. Work is hell. And then other than that, it's just been trying to keep up with everything. Fiesta's next week, I won't be on the show because we've got next round of theater tickets. Gonna go... See, the only one in the series I don't know anything about, Anastasia. So it's going to be a complete surprise as to what I'm getting into there. I don't know if it's good or bad.
I wonder if it is it based on the animated movie with the songs?
Don't know. Like the Don Bluth one? I mean, obviously it's probably about the Russian princess.
Yes.
I'm going to guess.
And it talks about Rasputin and his giant dick.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, work. Second job that is TFF now. Wow. And a lot more just work.
So that sounds like you've been busy then.
Yeah. Got people coming into town this weekend.
Oh, cool.
And I've got, actually in my garage fridge, I have made corned beef. And I'm probably going to go over Noxie and Glar's on Saturday and use Glar's smoker to try and turn it into pastrami. Mm. Might be tasty. Might be awful. We'll find out. So we'll see how that goes.
So in furry news, there's a con this weekend, Anthro New England. So if you're going to that, woo, have fun. Also, I happened to see that Furpocalypse recently posted a big letter from their chairman that this year is going to be the last year at the hotel that they've been at. This is a hotel that has gradually gotten worse every year. This was the one that had the famous carpet mushrooms. Yeah. And like there was some terrible pictures of the condition of the place coming out of the con last year. But I'm assuming that they were already contracted for this year. So they've announced this is going to be their last year at that hotel. They will have a new home in 2020. So if you go to Furpocalypse, then yay, you have something to look forward to.
So I have a one cool thing this week.
Okay.
Sort of a one cool thing, because we're kind of wrapping up here, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Give Genlock, Rooster Teeth's new not really an anime show, a chance.
Mm-hmm.
When we do anime, you know, we also watch Ruby and Ruby Chibi because he's really, really big into Rooster Teeth stuff. And Genlock is their new show. It's a mecha anime action show with Michael B. Jordan's production company at the helm, Michael B. Jordan as the main character. They got a bunch of other, like Dakota Fanning's The Scottish Girl. They got David Tennant.
No, you said Maisie Williams.
Maisie Williams, not Dakota Fanning. Those are very different people, I'm sure.
Probably.
And basically,
I was just amused that Maisie Williams is playing the character who is a furry in the VR world, because she's also playing Wolfsbane in the New Mutants movie, whose mutant power is to turn into a werewolf.
Nice.
So keeping up that Scottish furry thing.
Yeah, it's a mech action show. It has a lot of anime influences. You know, you download your brain into the robot to fight, but it's only these, you know, particular people that can do it. And if you don't have the right way to do it, it will just fucking kill you. I'd say give it a shot. It was pointed out to me earlier today that this is a show that nobody's even doing porn of the characters, which generally the popularity of a show will dictate how popular, like, people will draw adult stuff of the show. And the characters are all adults as far as I know, so it's not like that. But it's was pointed out, it's like, oh my god, this, you know, this specific Rule 34 subreddit for it has only like a dozen posts and the newest one was 10 days ago. I'm really worried. Because for Rooster Teeth, they're owned by Otter Media, which is owned by AT&T, you know, so if they are seen as a liability or a money loser, AT&T will probably not think twice to just cut their losses. I wouldn't say, oh, we have to protect the Rooster Teeths, but it might be a good show. Maybe, you know, you could think about maybe drawing some smut. I don't know. It's very, like, they're all humans. They're all, you know, regular people. So it's not like any furry artists are going to be taking cracks at it. And it's not anime, so you're not going to get a bunch of Japanese artists doing it necessarily. And, like, with Tumblr being Tumblr, being that, like, a bunch of their user base left the site, you're not going to see a lot of it there necessarily either. Just, I would be interested to know, like, how much of a dip they took when they banned the porn, but still haven't gotten rid of all the porn bots with the Nazis.
Right.
But I would say I've enjoyed what I've seen so far of it. They're like 6 episodes in now. And, well, it was 5 on Monday. So by the time this is out, it's on their website, roosterteeth.com. I'd say give it a fair shake. It's a mech show. You know, you have to like the particular genre, but it is neat to hear, like, David Tennant's voice in the show and Michael B. Jordan and all this other stuff. So
is he using his natural accent or?
He sounds a bit like Killmonger.
Okay.
So
more like your standard English accent rather than his natural Scottish.
Oh, no, I mean, David Tennant's totally using his.
Okay.
He sounds like the Doctor.
Okay, yeah.
Which I also seem to recall them referring to him as just Doctor a couple times in the script.
Yeah.
Probably for the lulz, but.
Probably, yeah.
You know, I also was reminded of it when they showed, like, there was an advertisement for it in GameStop, which was weird. Because I was also in a GameStop, which is also weird. But it was one in a mall that I was out walking at, so I stopped by to see if they had copies of Katamari Damacy Reroll for the Switch. They did not, and I saw the ad on the way out. You know, give it a shot. If it's not for you, cool, but it is one of those things that seems like it was a big, expensive gamble, so if it doesn't do well, it will reflect poorly on the company. You know, I'm not super invested in them, but I know people that are. They'd be very upset if that was to go poorly for the company.
Right. And it sounds like a cool concept. Maybe I'll check it out.
When you look at stuff that's coming up and the porn that's, you know, guaranteed to occur, I mean, shit, people have done porn of the new 101 Dalmatians cartoon, not even out yet. And with the announcement of Space Jam 2 coming in 2021 and including Lola on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning, hell yeah, it's going to be a fresh round of that.
Is it sad that I'm like, I'm looking forward to Space Jam 2 coming out because of all the Lola porn?
Lola never did much for me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that movie came out in like, what, 96?
How to put it? Too
human?
That's one way to put it. More try hard. Like, she looks like she's supposed to be eye candy as opposed to just kind of being
a toon character.
Like Judy. I mean, Judy's just kind of honest. Lola is very obviously supposed to be meant to be sexy bunny.
Do you know the backstory behind that? I think we've talked about this before.
No.
So, in the original... Okay, so I think they originally designed her busty, and then the studio was like, we can't have boobs.
On what, Judy?
On Lola. Mm-hmm. So they designed her basically like a female version of Bugs. So she was like flat like Bugs is, except mm-hmm. she was like pink and white. And then they had all the art and stuff like that, and they sent it off to like McDonald's or whoever was their like corporate Happy Meal burger partner at the time. And they were like, oh, we can't use this. It looks like they're a gay couple. The character looks like another male bunny and they're kissing on each other. You have to make her more obviously female. So they went back to using their original booby design. Mm-hmm. So Lola ends up as this super busty, clearly very female, sexy bunny character. But it's kind of funny that's the corporate objection to, we don't want people to think this is a boy, ended up with an overtly sexualized character.
That's just...
Look, we don't want a sexualized bunny, but they also can't be gay, so clearly we just need to slap some tits on this rabbit.
Yeah.
But I mean, as a character, she's been around since the movie came out, and people are still drawing fresh stuff of her to this day. Like, Sampikos did something in the last 6 months, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And, well...
Well, I just did Fifi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my wallpaper. Yeah.
Nice. Not a character... Like, I wasn't big into Tiny Toons, I guess, but I do remember that character popping up a couple of times.
I just really like skunks.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of does...
Yeah, you have,
does
like,
it.
A skunk alt or
I something. Have a skunk alt, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get more art of her.
Mm-hmm.
But... We're not here to talk about my OCs. That's another show. Let me tell you about my, like, half dozen OCs. No. Like, half of them are girls. Ooh.
Nice.
Anyways.
So, Judy porn is not Judy porn, no. Well, there's always Judy porn on the horizon. There's Lola porn on the horizon also.
Get hype. So
get hype, furries. On a final note, I like to... read you a quote from one of our greatest living Americans, describing America. It's a racist country built on the boards of genocide. And that was noted national treasure Danny DeVito, who has, I mean, he's got to say that, yes, he loves America, but he's not gonna hide the fact that it's founded on racism.
America. We've done some shit.
You can love the country and still want to make it better.
You can criticize it and want to make it better without saying you hate it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's possible to do both.
Yeah.
Improve it and love it.
That's right. So, you can let me go ahead and throw out all of our contact information here. If you want to email us, you can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Patreon, and Podbean at southpawscast. You can find my Twitter at fuzzwolf. You can also find my print company for Planet, for books and comics in print form, or you go to my ebook site at baddogbooks.com or at baddogbooks on Twitter if you prefer to enjoy your furry lit in electronic form. And that's all I got.
You can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake. You can find me on snouts.online at Savrin. And you can find me on Twitch like 4 days a week as the last little bit. I'm falling into a habit again. Yay. Streaming from like 10 till generally like 10 to 1 or 2, but like last night it was nearly 3 because I had lots of people watching me.
Central U.S.
time. Central U.S. time, and I'm wrapping up Kingdom Hearts, and I probably will say that's nice, but Astroneer was a nice break because it's very chill and does not go the Kingdom Hearts, Hearts, Darkness, Darkness, Light, Darkness, Keyblade, Sora, Donald, Goofy route.
Right.
So, find me there.
Woo! You can find Shiva at work or playing WoW.
Yeah, that's a lot of... I don't spend a lot of time on social media these days.
Right now, your best place to find Shiva will be at the Hyatt downtown from March 29th to April 1st.
Yeah.
You can say hi to her at the place where she will be nailed to for the weekend. That is the most reliable place to find her until after that.
So come to the orange room at TFF, say hi to Shiva, and then come over to my table and buy some books.
And buy some, like, tie-dye underwear for my parents for your fursuit. They really find it funny.
Wait, what?
Last year at Fiesta, my mom had made some 3X tie-dyed rainbow underwear specifically for fursuiters to buy. And I'm like, Mom, you do not know what you're enabling. But that's hilarious. Keep doing it.
Dude, I gotta say, so your parents totally got a handle on their marketing.
Yep.
Like, they know their audience.
They better get some tie-dyes done for Fiesta because that's a good market for them.
Yep.
They gotta make that big ol' underwear for the big ol' fursuits.
Tidy tie-dyes.
Yep. Oh, man, if they could do like a... Well, they'd make cotton sports bras because their dye doesn't adhere to much of anything aside from cotton. Like, uh-huh. So, you know, you have the male fursuits that have, you know, just the underwear. But if you have a girl fursuit that has, you know, the sports bra and the pod, like, ooh, is this lewd? If I'm working around with no underwear, is it okay? But if I put underwear on, is it suddenly dirty?
Kind of like ponies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we don't normally wear clothes and just let things hang out. But if we put on panties, ooh. Same with any cartoon, really.
Yeah.
You know, they get out of the shower, they wrap the towel around their waist, they dry off, and they just drop the towel and start walking around.
Yeah.
Or cartoon logic, y'all.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when, like, Buster Bunny takes his shirt off and it suddenly covers his crotch because he's naked, and it's like, but he doesn't wear pants.
Exactly. So, but on that weird note, we're going to wrap it up for tonight.
Very weird note.
We had a very in-depth conversation about cartoon groins, and now we're going to wrap it up.
Yep, so good night.
And big books.